Proverbs 13:12 says that hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Do you know the unrelenting pain of hope deferred? Do you know the heartache that comes with your hopes not coming to be? Do you know the feeling of having to wait and wait and wait and wait for it, not getting what you want when you want it? How does that feel when that's your experience? How do you respond when that's what life throws at you? And maybe even more importantly, how does that shape your view of God when your hope is deferred? The proverb says that hope deferred makes the heart sick, and that makes sense to us, but then it goes on. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. It's life-giving when we get what we want when we want it, right? When our hopes come to be, when our promises are fulfilled and our dreams are experienced, that's life-giving for us. We feel great and we feel grateful. We praise and we believe in those moments. But my question for you this morning is, what happens to you when your hopes are deferred? What happens to you when your dreams are delayed or when they never come to be at all? What happens? Well, this is the story of Zechariah. Zechariah, taken from Luke 1 in the New Testament of the Bible. Zechariah was a good and godly man, and he lived in a difficult time. His homeland was experiencing occupation and oppression from a formidable foreign power. This was not a peaceful time or a hope-filled time for the people of God. God's people felt defeated, and they felt depleted, and they felt desperate, and they longed for God to once again send some kind of deliverer to them. And in spite of all of these circumstances, this man, Zechariah, remained faithful. He was faithful to the Lord, and he was a priest in the temple of God. He was a priest, and he continued to do his priestly duties even though times were hard and God had long been silent. Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, they remained faithful. They remained obedient to the God, and God saw them as righteous. They were righteous in the Lord's eyes and faithful even into their old age. Now, Zechariah and Elizabeth experienced the same difficulties that everybody experienced in that day and time. We get that in 2020, don't we? The difficulties that we all experience being in that same boat. But at the same time, they had their own problems, their own struggles, their own personal trials. And these were not new problems for them. These were old problems that had long been experienced by old people. You see, they were righteous, but they were also childless. Elizabeth had never been able to conceive a child. Their hopes for children had long, long, long been deferred. In fact, truly just dashed at some point in their life. And yet, they remained faithful. Why? Because they were wise enough to not associate God's blessings with God's approval. You see that, right? They understood that a life lived for God does not equal a challenge-free life, and so they continued on in faithfulness to God. It did not appear that the hope deferred that they were experiencing caused them to become bitter or angry. It did not appear that the hope deferred that they were experiencing, the social stigma that they carried, or the disgrace that they felt caused them to turn away from God, but rather to turn them in toward God. You see, what at some point in their life had been a could not, had certainly become a would not, and ultimately adjusted to a whole new reality. And they lived in that reality, remaining faithful in that difficult, disappointing reality that they experienced. And so you see that they served and they worshiped God through disappointment. Now there's a lesson in there for us, isn't there? Serving and worshiping God, even when life is disappointing. And so we find Zechariah doing what he does, his priestly duties, and he's serving God, and he's worshiping God, and he's continuing to lead in the temple as he always does. But there was this one particular day that was a unique day because he had this unique God-given, God-initiated opportunity. It was a once-in-a-lifetime kind of thing that God ordained for him. He got to go into the sacred place, into the holy place, to burn the incense on the day of sacrifice in the presence of the Lord, and this was not an everyday activity. This was not an experience that even a priest would experience all that often. A once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and you will see in Zechariah's story that this became increasingly abnormal very quickly. Because when he got into the holy place, He saw an angel of the Lord. And I want you to picture this in your mind this morning. This being, this figure, was not cartoonish or cute. No, it was awesome and majestic and glorious. And it was this awesome representation of the God that it came to represent. And Zechariah's response was fear. He was afraid of what he experienced. This righteous man was rightly afraid in the presence of this godly divine messenger. But the angel of the Lord quickly spoke a word of comfort to the old priest. And he said, "Do not be afraid, for your prayers have been heard. Do not be afraid, for your prayers have been heard." What prayers? Zechariah no doubt had some prayers running through his heart and mind in that moment in the holy place as he sees this angel and he responds with fear. Was it those prayers? No, do not be afraid. Your prayers have been heard. What prayers? The prayers that were heard were the prayers that had no doubt been prayed many, many, many times over many years, but it also had been quite some time since he had prayed those prayers. And the angel spoke into this and said, "These are the prayers that have been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you are to call him John. And he will be a joy to you, and he will be a delight, and the people will rejoice at his birth. Because he will be great in the Lord's eyes." That's the prayer that had been heard. That's the prayer that God was answering. That was unbelievable all these years later. After all the waiting, God was granting all that Elizabeth and Zechariah had wanted for all these years. He was granting all that all of us want, really. Right? We think about it. We could stop at this point in Zechariah's story and he would have all that most of us want: to be free from fear, to have a family of our own, and to experience joy and delight, right? To experience happiness. We could stop at this point in Zechariah's story, but that would be crazy because God's plans are so much bigger and grander than our simple human hopes and dreams. God has so much more in store for John, the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth, than they could even imagine. John would be great, but it would be a very unique brand of greatness, no doubt. Because, y'all, greatness in God's eyes and greatness in the world's eyes are not often the same thing. Have you experienced that? They certainly did. And yes, John was to be great, but he was to be an uncommon kind of greatness. He was an uncommon man with an uncommon mission. And the messenger of God continued to speak to Zechariah, his father, and he told him some very specific instructions. He said, "John will have the presence of the Holy Spirit about him before he is even born. And then after he is born, the Holy Spirit of God is to be all that controls him. He should not be controlled by anything but the Spirit, including he should never be controlled by alcohol." Those are some very specific instructions, but again, this was an uncommon man, not an ordinary guy, and he didn't have an ordinary mission. No, he had this distinct, extraordinary, God-given calling on his life. You see, Zechariah's son, John, had a mission. And with his mission came a message, and his message would be the message that would bring the people back to God. His work would be the work that would prepare the people for the day of the Lord. See, God's people, they were occupied and oppressed by Rome for so long, and they felt so defeated, and they ached, and they hoped, and they waited for God to do something about their problems. They prayed that God would deliver them, that he would send a deliverer again like Moses, that he would send a king again like David, that he would finally send the long-awaited, much-promised Messiah of God, the Christ, and God was ready. The fullness of time had come. God's hope-filled plans from before the beginning were coming to be. And you and I now know that the Savior would come. That's what Christmas is about. But did you know that John would come before him? Did you know that John's message would point to the Savior's message, that John's work would point to the Savior's work? Did you know that when this elderly priest and this old barren woman of God found out that they were going to conceive a child, that this was just a precursor to the news that God's Son was coming? That's what's going on. Unbelievable. That's what Zechariah experienced in the holy place. Unbelievable. And Zechariah wasn't sure if he believed it. It was just too much. It just made too little earthly sense. They were too old. They had waited too long. And I'm not going to stand here today and pretend like I can judge the righteous Zechariah for his doubts. And I doubt that you will either, because you and I both know that it's so easy to be guilty of thinking that our problems are more powerful than the power of our God. We know what that's like, don't we? And I'm not foolish enough today to think that I'm more righteous than Zechariah. I recognize that my own human condition, I'm aware of the fact that in my humanity, I so often limit what I believe that God is capable of. And Zechariah did too, and he wanted more proof. And so he said to the angel of the Lord, "How can I know that this is true? How can I be sure of this?" Seriously, you want more proof than the angel of the Lord in the holy place speaking these things to you? Seriously, he did. And I believe we would too. And it turns out that this heavenly messenger sent from God had a name. And he spoke to him again and he said, "I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of the Lord. And God has sent me to speak this good news to you. And now you will be silent. And you will not be able to speak until the day that this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true." Will come true in their appointed time. You see, God had broken his long silence. For more than 400 years, God had been silent. And he chose in the holy place with Zechariah through the angel Gabriel to break his silence. But Zechariah wanted more. He wanted more proof. He wanted more assurance. He wanted more of what he could feel and touch. This man who typically walked by faith wanted to walk by sight. God broke his long silence for him. And the angel Gabriel makes it clear in these moments that he had God's word. And that was more than enough. Friends, it is unwise to question God's promises. And Zechariah learned that the hard way. You see, the breaking of God's silence was the beginning of Zechariah's silence as a consequence for his unbelief. Think about it. This was one of the best days of his life. It was the best day of his life. And he couldn't speak of it. The people outside the temple had wondered what was taking the old man so long in there. What's going on? And when he finally emerged and came out, he couldn't speak. He couldn't verbalize or vocalize and tell them the experience that he had. So he formed some kind of sign language to show them that he had had an experience. And they knew enough to know that he had experienced an encounter with God. He had experienced some kind of a vision. And I want you to think about how much Zechariah would have wanted to share and to speak what God had said to him and what had happened. Think about how eager Zechariah must have been to get home to Elizabeth that day. How much he would have wanted to tell her the story and the promise of God and what was going on for them. How much he would have wanted to share this good news. And somehow he did. And by the grace of God, after all the years of waiting, Elizabeth became pregnant. And yet her husband couldn't tell her the story behind the story. And in spite of that, she knew. She absolutely knew, because she said, "The Lord has done this for me. The Lord has done this for me." Listen, friends, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And Elizabeth would tell you this morning that it is always wise, always wise, to put our hope and trust in God and in God's plan. Zechariah would tell you that this morning. And when you think about their story, I want you to see it as this epic story of hope. What a hopeful story, right? That this long waiting, long suffering, barren couple would experience their heart's desire of having a child. It's a story of hope, but the reason why it's such an epic story of hope is because it points us to the most epic story of hope that the world has ever experienced. When you hear Zechariah's story, when you hear the story of John, it prepares us for, it makes us long even more for, it does the work of Advent in our hearts to make us ready for the birth of Christ, the story of Christmas, the story of Jesus, the story of his virgin birth, the story of his sinless life, the story of his miraculous ministry, the story of his crucifixion and death, and the story of his powerful resurrection. See, that story is the hope of our world. That story, the story of Jesus, is the hope of John. That story is your hope today, and it is my hope today. And friends, we don't have to wait for it. It has not been delayed. It has not been deferred. The longing for a Savior, the waiting that had been done has come to be, and it has been fulfilled completely in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And he has come to give life. It is life-giving, like a tree of hope. He has come to give life, the life that is truly life. Jesus is our hope. He is our hope. And because of Jesus, we live in light of that hope. Because of Jesus, as followers of Christ, we are the people of hope. And so, as the people of hope, as followers of Christ, what do we do when real life gives us real heartache because we experience hope deferred? As followers of Christ, what do we do with the pain of not getting what we want when we want it? What do we do when God doesn't show up the way that we expect and the way that we have prayed? What do we do when our hopes are not fulfilled, when our dreams are not realized, or when they never even come to be? Well, I would suggest that we look back to Zechariah and Elizabeth's story as an example that has been lived out before us. And first of all, what we do is we do not associate God's blessings with God's approval. Do you see what I'm saying? Do not associate the blessings of God with the approval of God. When your hopes are deferred, when your dreams don't come to be, that doesn't mean that God is not there or that he does not approve of you. See, the hope of following Christ is that we get God himself. That's what Christmas is. It's when God gave God. And that's what we get in Christ. Yes, we get the forgiveness of sins that we desperately need, and because of the forgiveness of sin, we get the freedom from sin that we desperately need. But don't miss in all the forgiveness and the freedom that what we need more than anything is relationship with God. We need reconciliation, and that's what we get in Jesus. The specific blessings that God can give, the material and physical blessings that God gives, they're good. But they're nowhere near as good as the spiritual blessing that we've received in Christ, that because of Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection, we are justified. Because of Jesus, we are fully approved in relationship with God. Jesus has done for us what we could not do for ourselves. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned," that's me and that's you, "and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified, are approved, are made right by a gift of grace." That's God's greatest blessing to us that comes through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, our hope. And so as followers of Christ, the people of hope, we have this deep and abiding hope that is secure in Jesus. So can we have this life-changing hope and yet still experience disappointments in this life? You bet we can. Let's be real enough with one another to admit that this morning we do still experience disappointments. So what do we do with that as the people of hope? Well, we serve and we worship God even through disappointment. We serve him and we worship him even through disappointment. Christ follower, listen to me. I want you to hear me say this. On your worst day, you still have Jesus. And on your worst day, he is still worthy. 1 Thessalonians 5 in the New Testament of the Bible says, "Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances." In all circumstances, in all things, be thankful, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So this means for us that we keep worshiping, we keep serving, we keep hoping, we keep trusting, we keep praising, and we keep believing in the truth that in all circumstances, God is good all the time. And we look to Zechariah and Elizabeth's example. We look from what they got right and we look from what they got wrong, and we realize that we do not lose perspective. We recognize that God's power is greater than our problems. And we stand firm on that truth. And when I think about the power of God and the problems of mankind, it leads me to 2 Corinthians 12. Listen to these verses. But God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power, for the power of God is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. For Christ's sake, I delight in insults. I delight in hardships. I delight in persecutions. For Christ's sake, I delight in difficulties. I can delight in my problems. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Listen to me, friends. To delight in hope that's been deferred, to delight when our dreams don't come to be, to delight in disappointment and struggle and real problems and trials and hardships, that takes maturity as followers of Christ. That's what God is sanctifying and growing us into. To delight in these kind of difficulties is the real fruit of real faith in Jesus. And I want you to see this morning that to those who face difficulties, to those who experience quote-unquote unanswered prayers, to those that live in the pain of waiting, you get an experience of the power of God that brings perspective that some may never taste. And so, yes, we can be thankful for that, and we can cling to God's power and cling to God's promises. And we look to the example that's lived before us, and we recognize that when we put our trust in God and God's plans, our hope will not, cannot be shaken.
Psalm 33:18-22 says this, "But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait and hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you."